which is our reasonable service of worship. And we have heard a story of worship this morning where a couple went in their very young years and spent 47 years as a living and holy sacrifice to you, our great God. This was their reasonable service of worship. And I want to thank you, Father, for every testimony in this room right now that you are working out right now, right here, to reflect you, to give you glory, to give you honor, to give you praise by the things that you prompt us and by the ways we respond to those promptings. Whether it's in the moment, whether it's in the decade, or whether it's in the 47, 50 years in the long haul of moving toward what you've called us to. I want to pray in Jesus' name that this would be watershed moments for many of us in this room today to be able to say, Lord, we have been hindered. We have not given you our bodies, our lives as a living and holy sacrifice. And today we desire to do that because great is your faithfulness. Great is your mercy. Great is your loving kindness to us. And I want to thank you, Father, in Jesus' name for the testimony this morning and the testimonies that will go forth from this place today in years and years to come. And I thank you, Father, for that. Lord, I pray that as we open the Word, that you would come and that you would teach us and that you'd show us some great and mighty things from this beloved passage in Lamentations. And I ask, God, that you'd fill us with the faithfulness. I pray that you would fill us with the mercies and the loving kindnesses of God. We thank you, Father, for that witness this morning with Miss Carolyn. And we ask, Lord, that we would be so deeply a part of that in your kingdom. Come, Lord, fill us, we pray, with your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. If you're new to your Bible, you can go right of the Psalms and find the prophets and find Jeremiah, and Lamentations is right after Jeremiah. Lamentations is written in a mournful kind of way of all the things that have been taking place in Jeremiah's life, which were not good. When God called him and he called as a child or as a teenager, he moved into this prophetic ministry for the long haul and did not have the success that we heard of today. Matter of fact, there was persecution like we talked about last week. There was trial. There were people always trying to kill him. And in this passage of Scripture, he says in verse 19, "Remember my affliction, my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down, and this I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope." What does he have hope in? What he's recalling to mind, that the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, and his compassions never fail. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Great is the faithfulness of our great God. If you're in Christ, this is what you have. You have the loving kindnesses of God. You have the compassions of God. And you and I also have the great faithfulness of God. It's a possession. It is a gift. It's the gift that God gives us when he gives us his Son. Old Testament folks did not have the opportunity to have the Spirit of the living God falling in their lives and living in their lives. You and I have this great opportunity that when we give our lives to Christ, that God, the living God, God, the Spirit comes to live within us. And how many of us know that it is only by the loving kindness of God and the mercy of God and the faithfulness of God that could ever, ever happen to you and me? Amen? It's the only way. It's the only way. But it's not just this one-time little shot when I'm 11 years old or 8 years old. No, this is what God sustains us with throughout our years. This is what God sustained Jeremiah in such a harsh, hard time of Israel's history before their captivity. Matter of fact, he would witness the captivity because they did not listen to the prophets of God. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, it is in the context of just a hardship. He calls it a wormwood, an affliction, a bitterness. And I think what's so sad in today's society, especially here in the West, in the United States, that we've had, like we talked about, we've had nothing like Jeremiah. And yet we can complain and we can murmur. And we can forget about how God is faithful in your life and in my life. These are three things, three powerful words to recall to mind. When it's going well and when it's going bad. When it's ugly and when it's beautiful. When it's hard and when it's difficult. These are three things to remember. Three words to live on and to live by. And the first one is the first powerful word to remember is that I possess God's loving kindnesses that never, ever cease. Notice, the Lord's loving kindnesses, indeed, it never ceases. It never stops. It never finishes. It never comes to an end. It's never consumed and eaten up. It's always there and it's always available. This word is the most powerful word in the Old Testament Hebrew, in my humble opinion. It's a word that is so powerful, like many Hebrew words, that just doesn't have one meaning that stands alone, but has several meanings that not only do not stand alone, but have perfect, perfect harmony. Let me give you an example. The word is keset or heset. Some people pronounce it in different ways. And it is this mercy of God, it's this grace of God, it's the favor of God, it's the covenant love of God, and it's the tender kindness of God, all wrapped up in one word. Not just mercy, not just grace, not just favor, not just covenant love. It is all of them wrapped up, available in you, through you, by you. And what's interesting is when you look at this passage of Scripture, keep your place here and go to Psalm 86, and we're going to look at verse 5 through 13 in a brief time. But I want to show you some of these words and what this word means. Notice, we'll start at the beginning. 86, verse 1. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me. I'm afflicted and needy. Preserve my soul from a godly man. O you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all day long. Make glad the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Watch, for you, Lord, are good, and you're ready to forgive. And you're abundant in a loving kindness to all who call upon you. Notice what he says. When you call upon him, you have, as a New Testament believer, already within you this great, great word, this great, great principle. The loving kindness of God is living in you. The covenant love of God, the mercy, the grace, the favor of God. Matter of fact, it's interesting to me that over the last several years, as this word has become so important to me in my devotional life, in my preaching, in my parenting or my grandparenting, and my marriage, and all of these areas, it's one of these words that just has captured my heart so much that when I'm walking sometimes into a situation or I'm walking into a difficult thing, I'm just saying, God, would you come with your chesed? Would you come with your loving kindness? This mercy on my life, this grace on my life, the favor of God and the favor of man. This is what you're asking. And God, may the loving kindness and the tender mercies of my God, may they be manifested in my life and may they be manifested through my life. What a powerful, powerful thing to ask God to do in the midst of already having what God has already given to you to walk out. This mercy that you walk in, that God showed you when you came to Him and continues to persevere in you. This mercy that just protects you from the wrath of God and even protects you from wrong decisions sometimes. The grace that empowers you, the favor that allows people in God that moves in your life. The covenant love that's never taken away and the kindness of God that you and I are supposed to portray every moment of our life. This is God, how God explains Himself to Moses in even in Exodus chapter 34, an abundant and loving kindness to all who call upon you. Verse 6, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of trouble, I'm going to call upon you and you're going to answer you, because there's no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor is there any works like yours. All the nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, and they'll glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way. I'll walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I'll give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your, here it is, loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, or hell. The loving kindness of God. The loving kindness of God are in your life today. And this, listen to me, folks, this never, ever ceases. It is always available. It is always ready to act upon, believe on, live on, consume on. It never, ever, ever runs out. So that when I'm running out, and I'm running out of energy, and I'm running out of just out of exhaustion in my Christian faith, that I can turn to this God and I can say, God, your loving kindness, it never ceases. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I receive the loving kindness of God. I receive the mercy. I receive the grace. I receive the favor. I receive it to manifest in my life and through my life and through my marriage and through my family and through my ministry and through my job, because this loving kindness never ceases. It never stops. It never finishes. It never comes to an end. It's never consumed. A powerful word to remember. I possess God's loving kindnesses that never, ever cease. A second word. It's the second word. You and I have God's mercies that never, ever fail. Notice what he says again. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases. His compassions, his mercies never ever fail. They are new every morning. You know, in our study a month ago, we talked in our series on mercy, Blessed are the Merciful. We talked a little bit about this word from the Old Testament perspective. But I want to remind you that this word mercy is God's tender love. It's His mercy. It's His compassion. And literally, the word means womb. W-O-M-B, literally, it's cherishing the fetus, cherishing, and I'm quoting from Strong's dictionary, okay, like cherishing the baby in the womb. Is the that's what God describes, these mercies, they're new every morning. And you think about babes in the womb, helpless, right? Innocent, right? I mean, we go on and on and on about the innocence of the baby in the womb. The baby in the womb that needs the protection of the womb, that needs the warmth of the womb. Bible says that it was in the womb that God fearfully and wonderfully made you. That's what David said. Fearfully and wonderfully made am I while I was yet in my mother's womb. When Jesus' mom came to Elizabeth, She had just conceived. I'm telling you, this baby's not 3 months, 4 months old. It's six. John the Baptist is 6 months old in the womb, and Jesus is just a few days in the womb. And the Bible says that when Mary came and the greeting came from her, that John in the womb of Elizabeth leapt for joy. Leapt for joy. This is mercy of God. It's what God protects. Listen, when you were born from above, born again, in a very not literal, of course, sense, you were born from the womb of God, if you could say that. Through the mercies of God, you were born again. And I think about this passage of Scripture, and I think about the mercy of God. And I just want to say this because I cannot not say this. I just believe as a world and a society today that if we don't get this right, where we know that every baby in the womb is cherished by God, we will not get anything else right. I believe this with all my heart. Take care of abortion on demand, and you're going to see the work of God. That's my humble opinion. And that's why I believe nothing else matters until that is taken care of. I just believe that. But how can we be a merciful people and allow that? And to see that continuing to happen. Think about it with me. God says His mercies are new every morning, and if I was to just take it from a literal sense, I would say His womb is new every morning. The tender compassion of a baby in the womb is new every morning. It's a powerful thought. It's a gracious thought that this mercy of God would be new and available every morning. The word comes from the Hebrew verb to love deeply, to have a tender affection for. And that's what God had when He saved you. When you were born from above, born again. Like Nicodemus asked, I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born again. You say, how can a man be born again? No, you mean you're born from above. You're born from God. And what's this great thought here is, let go of Lamentations again, or don't let go, keep your place there, and go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, because it's the mercy of God that saved you and me. And this mercy that saved us, listen to me, is new every morning for you. Like you're beginning again in the new morning. It's like God says, it's all new. It's all fresh. It's not old. It's not stale. It's not dead. It's alive. And it is on your life, no matter what's going on in your life. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, notice, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You're dead. In which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. And among them we too all formerly lived. We lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, do you see that? Being rich in mercy because of His great tender love. There it is. His great tender affection which He loved us with. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. There's mercy. There's grace. And raised us up with Him and seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace, His kindness. Look, are you seeing all the words of Hesed and Kesed today? They're all right there in the New Testament. His kindness, toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one would boast. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. His loving kindness never ceases. And look, listen to me. These mercies never, ever, ever, ever cease. Will you believe that today, friends? That no matter where you are, because I want you to see, I want to show you, I want to just see this, just real briefly. And here's the thought. Whatever mercy targets, God's mercy hits. In this passage, it targets the dead, your deadness. It targets your trespasses and sins by which He forgives you. He remits them and He wipes them out and He throws them as far as the east is from the west and He remembers them no more. That's the new mercy. It's the new mercy. He targets your deadness. He targets your trespasses and sins. He targets the prince of the power of the air. So He comes by His mercy and crushes his head so that you might be delivered and set free. He targets the spirit that works in the sons of disobedience so that you might be obedient. And then He accomplishes salvation, changes your nature, reroutes your direction, causes you to walk in the works of God that God designed you to walk in. Listen to me. These are the mercies of God that never, ever end. When you get up in the morning, they're going to be new again. They're going to be fresh again because my Bible says they're new every morning. They're new every single day. You don't have to wait till New Year's to do another resolution. You can get up in the morning and say, hallelujah, the mercies are new this morning. I get to forget what lies behind, and I get to press on to what lies ahead. Amen. This is the mercy of God. Watch, look at it. It accomplishes salvation. It changes your nature. It reroutes your direction. It causes you to walk in the works God designed you to walk in. This is yours. This is what we possess. They never fail, and they're new every morning. The first powerful word to remember, you and I possess God's loving kindnesses. They never cease. You and I have God's mercies, they never fail. And by the way, God's mercy that never fails, if that's a part of your nature, it should never fail from your perspective. Because I always want to extend the mercy of God, even when it doesn't make sense. Talked about that for 3 weeks when we saw, blessed are the merciful, for they and only they shall receive the compassion, the womb, the mercy of God. And that's why I think it's so exhaustible, because God has chosen millions of millions upon millions of Christians to display and reflect the mercies of God. That you and I are instruments of His mercy when we get up in the morning. They're new every morning so that we can be a part of this grand scheme of God, this grand plan of God, to be a part of this salvation, this rerouting, this abundance, this freedom in God. They're new every morning, folks. They're new every morning. And then He says, back in Lamentations, for great is your faithfulness. He's faithful. It's the third word. God's faithfulness is great towards you and me. Faithfulness is a word that means to be firm, to be secure. His faithfulness means He's always performing what He promises. Amen. He'll wake you up. This is it. He's always performing His promises. We just sang about it. They're all yes and amen. And that a yes and amen is not from me, it's from God. Yes and amen from God. Yes and amen from the throne room of God. That's all His promises. And that's why we want to be people of the Word, so we understand what the promises of God are as opposed to the promises of man. And we're hearing a lot of promises from man right now. But to think about the promises of God, they're yes and amen. And that's why I want to memorize them. That's why I want to meditate on them. That's why I want to circle them in my Bible. And I want to date it to say, this is a promise of God that I want to walk in. Because He's faithful. He's always performing His promises. There's a few words that I want to just finish up with this morning. I wish I had another hour or 30 minutes, maybe 15. But I'm going to have to take 20. No, I'm only kidding. Listen to me. He is faithful in your temptations and trials. Please get this in your notes. He is faithful in your temptations and your trial. Notice 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. It's common to all of us. And God is faithful. Now watch. He's faithful to what? He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Let me ask you, do you believe that? Let me tell you what. My God just said, I am not going to give you something that you can't handle. I don't know what it is about this new doctrine going around that's wrong. Listen, this is the Word of God. When you're going through temptation, you can handle the temptation. Amen and amen. And so that's what he says. This is where we get that idea. This is what we believe. He'll not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also so that you're able to endure it. Now, a temptation is more than just an enticement. That's what it is. It's an enticement to sin from the enemy. But it's also a trial, a testing, a proving of your integrity, of your virtue, of your faithfulness. That's what it is. Temptation here is not just the enticement with the little demons on this side and the little angels on this side. Yeah, you go do that. No, don't you better do that. You better do this. No, that's not what that is. Temptations are trials, and trials are testing. James uses the same word. Consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you go through a trial, when you go through a sickness, when you go through a hurt, when you go through something that's wounded your heart, when you've gone through something where there's a loss of a job or loss of income or a loss of health or a loss of a loved one, these are trials of life. And in those trials, you're testing because you're going to be tempted to turn your face from God and to turn it away from Him. That is the temptation. And it's also the temptations to walk in fear or worry or anxiety or stress or lust or any of those kinds of things. And he says, listen, he is faithful in your temptations and trials. I'm going to say this like this. He is faithful in my temptations and trials. He is faithful in your temptations and trial. And what is his faithfulness? Not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Okay. Now, I get this because I understand that, listen, without Christ, I'm able to do nothing. But my God promises that I can withstand this temptation and that he's going to give me a way of escape so that I can get to the other side proved, tried, mature, more like Jesus, walking in him. Listen, this is the faithfulness of God. Great is the faithfulness of God. Do you know what I've noticed, Miss Carolyn, is that most people who are able to say that in the midst of the biggest trial of their lives, God is faithful or God is good, are usually the people that are the most faithful and the most good. I'm not talking about some trite thing, God is good all the time. All the time, God's good. Now, I like that. But I'm talking about in the middle of it. I'm talking about in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the, God is so good to me. God is so faithful to me. I have found that those people in my life that are declare that are the most faithful and are the most good in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a confession. And I just want to just say this, and I don't want to make anything more about her than she is. But notice her book is faithful to God. But notice for 47, 50, 60 something years, 60 years of over 60 years of marriage. Listen, folks, faithful is she as she proclaims the faithfulness of God. Great is the faithfulness of our great God. And I just somehow, when I confess it, maybe one day God will wake up and say, welcome, Fritcher, faithful were you. Faithful were you. No, you are faithful, God. You're faithful to get us through what we need to get through. You're faithful to love us to the next things. You're faithful to give us this loving kindness of God and this tender compassion of God, this great comfort of God to go through anything so that we are at the next place God wants us to be. And I'm just so grateful for this word today. He's faithful in your temptation and trials, he's faithful to always forgive and cleanse you. 1 John 1:9. Because, you know, when you go through the temptation and you fail and you sin, guess what? He's faithful to always forgive you and cleanse you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to me, folks. This is not only just God forgiving you, it's God transforming you. I confess my sin. I can't tell you how many times people have come into my study with stuff and junk and sins and strongholds. And the moment they say, this is in my life, is the moment that God does this work of forgiveness and freedom. It's just this confession. This is what I did. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I've been doing. This is what I've been thinking. These are the things that have kept me captive all these years. But the moment you humble yourself, and you don't even know you're humbling yourself, by the way, but the moment you humble yourself and confess, this is me, is the moment that the grace of God comes and freedom begins. Matter of fact, it's just not even a cleanup for the pastor. It's already been done because of his great faithfulness. Because he says, I'll forgive the sin and I will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Isn't that a great promise? So confess it. He's faithful. He's faithful to forgive you so you don't have to carry the guilt, to carry the shame, to carry the junk all the rest of your life. Is that the gospel? No, that's not the good news. The good news is that he takes it away and he cleanses us and heals us. He is great as his faithfulness, his security, his firmness, who's always performing all of his promises. He's faithful in your temptation and trials. He is faithful to always forgive and cleanse. And he is faithful to call you and to always bring it all to pass. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame till the coming of the Lord. And then he says, faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Listen to me. I believe with all my heart, he is so faithful to call you and to bring it to pass. I'm talking in the grand scheme of salvation, but I'm talking about it in a life to the mission field, faithful to call, faithful to bring it to pass. I'm talking about a marriage. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about a church. That when God calls you and you move toward it, listen to me, he calls you and you start moving toward it, I'm going to tell you, he will bring it to pass, period. Calls you to forgiveness, going to bring it to pass. Calls you to love and good deeds, brings it to pass. Calls you to exercise your gifts and to exercise the ministries that God calls you to, going to bring it to pass. Why? Because he is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Father, I want to thank you for today's testimony. I want to thank you, Father, for the word today. I want to thank you, Lord, that this is the things that we recall to mind. In the midst of hardship, in the midst of wormwood, he said, in the midst of bitterness, in the midst of what Jeremiah was, he recalled it to mind, and therefore he has hope. He has hope, Lord, that God's loving kindnesses, they never ever cease, that his mercies never fail, that they're new every morning, and that great is your faithfulness. Oh God, may we be like this, of what you've called us to in this life. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd move through us and you'd move about us as we celebrate every morning the mercies, faithfulness, and loving kindness of God. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask...